So now they still have to go through all the stupid protocols. And to me, I would just be like, look, I don't want to deal with all this bullshit. Give me a couple of pricks and I'm good. Just to kind of live a more normal
It's not that
life.
kind of podcast.
Couple pricks will be all right.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. I know there's still not a ton of Saints news out there, but we're slowly inching closer to the season. We finally got to hear some of the Saints players last week. They're doing their mini camp, so they were doing some interviews. Some big offseason questions. We signed all our draft picks, which was good to see. You know, Mickey Loomis was doing some of his magic, doing some of the board of a year thing. There's some renovations going on in the dome. Jared Cook made a stupid comment.
Mike Carney's about 40.
Yeah. What's that?
Mike Carney will be 40 on July 6th. You know, got to celebrate him. Mike Carney.
Oh, circus folk.
That's John Carney's son.
So, yeah, you know, there's obviously the big debate around the Saints is the quarterback issue, which I don't think it's really a debate. Get into that. Sean Payton.
Drew Brees retired.
Drew Brees officially.
I mean, if we just want
Drew Brees
just a
retired.
Footnote, you know, here we could discuss it.
Breaking news.
Drew Brees has retired.
Because of the Lattimore restructure, we have increased our salary cap by like 7,000% or something where it was before.
Man, it was kind of fun when we only had about 360K to play with.
Yeah, it was scary. It's like, yeah. Hope no bills come in, you know.
Right. Sean Payton was on set of the Netflix movie with Kevin James, looking interesting. Had some kind of crazy wig on, and I guess he's playing an extra or something. Trying to think. And then, of course, we got, you know, big week for some of you gamblers out there. We U.S. Open week, third major of the year out of Torrey Pines. And, you know, we'll kind of see what else we go to. So tuck yourselves in, put your earbuds in your ears, and don't have it written down. So once again, I'll find a way to, you know, you would think we've done this long enough that all I have to do is say, hey, Jeff, send me over the, and I probably have access to the Google Doc with it on here. And I just constantly refuse to even try to do it. Just because it's kind of like my act of defiance. I don't like hosting, so I'm just gonna fucking shoot the shit and here we go. But joining us tonight on the show, we've got Gunn from Taking the Over. Gunn, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing all right. I don't even give a number. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say, what is your number? Let's start there.
I'll go with a two.
You're a two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing too crazy. It's just a Tuesday night. I'm going to get up early to watch Loki tomorrow morning, so I don't want to go nuts tonight. So
yeah, don't get crazy. Yeah, Loki tomorrow. I love the fact it's on Wednesdays. These Wednesday releases are a nice little midweek treat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They did that because at some point Black Widow is going to be released, and if Loki was on Friday, it's going to conflict. So they were like, well, are people going to watch one or the other? And I'm like, we're going to watch both. It's not going to matter. But I do like it being on Wednesday because we do still have the Bad Batch coming out on Friday. So it gives me two new releases on Disney Plus.
I'm doing good, man. I'm just chilling. Glad to be here. Glad to talk all this Saints news we got.
It's, you know, and look, in the offseason, there's not much going on, so it's hard to talk Saints news. So when there's a little bit, you know, we're kind of fiending for it. But look, the season will be here before we know it. I know it's
always fun to talk Saints. You know, we may talk about anything tonight. Let me talk about the Superdome.
Yeah, 3 months, right? Less than 3 months?
Yeah, three months.
80 something days. Yeah.
Till the first real game. Yep, yep. That other voice you heard was Wesley from the BS and Beer podcast. I made sure to say that right this week. Not bourbon and beer. So how you doing, Wes? You recovering from the I see you got a little burn. You're recovering from the Mavericks elimination and the hit piece that was put on the
completely athletic. Recovered. Unless I'm on Taking the Over, Talking the Gun, basketball doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah,
that was a good show you guys put out, and I'm not even a USC fan per se.
Did you listen?
I listened to the whole thing.
Placed any bets?
I did not. I probably should have, but
what are you? You said, Jason, you said you're a two.
Yeah, I'm a two.
I guess I'll be a 2.5 since you're a pussy.
Hey, I can easily start drinking a little more.
my plan is already working. Good.
But why don't y'all race?
Yeah, but it was funny because I listened to the show on Sunday after all the USC fights, and you guys were talking about the post fight bump.
That's good.
Oh yeah. So, got a big post-fight bump on this one. Lots of post-fight lists.
Now, did you watch the fights, Jason?
No. I don't ever.
It's a classic arm dislocation that's going to go down in lore as one of the worst injuries in UFC history.
And then those two dudes went out drinking together that night.
It's crazy.
It was crazy. They're like dancing together at the club. Yeah. It was beautiful. That's why MMA is so awesome. The guy gnarly fucked his arm. Ugh. And then they impromptu went out drinking that night. Ugh.
What are you typing, Jason?
I'm trying to log in to...
What's this logo on your shirt, Jason?
It's Cubs.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. The Cubs are playing really well. They did lose the last two to the Mets, including today, but they're playing well. You know, they... for some reason, the Cubs cried poor this offseason, which made zero sense to me, and they traded away Yu Darvish, and they got all these free agents coming up, and now they're actually playing well. So now they have to make a decision, and Wrigley's back to 100% capacity, which has been awesome.
How did you become a Cubs fan?
WGN, watching on TV after school.
Oh.
Yeah. We didn't have a team here. It was the Braves were on TBS, the Cubs were on WGN, so we kind of went back and forth, and they all sucked back then.
What, you Ryan Sandberg, Sammy Sosa, or Andre Dawson? Who's the greatest Cub of all time? Don't say Ernie Banks. You're not that old.
No. I'm definitely not that old. I love the Hawk, but you know, I mean,
is Ryan Sandberg overrated?
No, I think he was properly rated. It's such a different era back then, but I think he was properly rated.
Mark Grace.
Oh, Mark Grace is solid. Shawan Dunston.
Oh, he was solid for a long time.
Right.
I mean, to be fair, Greg Maddux was a Cub. That's gotta hurt to remember.
And he came back. I got to watch him pitch when he came back the second go around. I went to Wrigley three straight summers in 05, 06, and 07, my first few times up there. But man, going to Chicago is such a great place to visit in the summertime. It really is.
Were you shot while you were there? Or
we were on the north side. Stayed on the north side. We were okay.
I've never been shot or been to Chicago.
I've never been shot. At least that I know of. I might have been shot at, but I've never been shot. But yeah, Sammy gets a bad rap because of all the steroid shit. But
man, I don't do a lot of baseball anymore just because of where it's gone. But I think not his biggest, he's not my favorite player of all time, but I think the best player I've ever seen is Barry Bonds. I'm a huge Barry Bonds fan. I have no problem with what the Sammy Sosa corked bat bothers me way more than any of the steroids. There's a line that I draw there that I was like, why are you doing that?
Well, they were all doing steroids. I want my baseball players
and football players and UFC fighters as in prime optimum athletic condition as they can be.
Well, and look, baseball let them get away with it because it drew the attention. The home the 98 home run chase brought so many eyeballs to baseball. And
what about the sticky substance thing going on now?
Right,
This is a bigger story than the steroids, as far as like everybody's known. It's been going on, and it's been going on
for a while. Yeah,
this is going to, if they stick to this,
baseball is going to change real fast.
Well, because it's the issue is, you know, the like baseball major league batting average is like 230. It's like strikeouts or home runs. And the problem is, and now with the infield shifting for certain guys, like I wish they would get rid of the shift. Like, you know, like you need to promote offense. You need to promote excitement because baseball is boring enough for a lot of people. I mean, look, I watch baseball because I grew up watching baseball. I still like it, but it's hard to attract new viewers when your game's boring as shit. And especially with the shorter attention spans that everybody has now.
You get kids into it. Like, you either grew up liking baseball and you still watch it and you're dedicated to a team, but it's really hard to get your kids to sit down and watch the whole baseball game. After about three innings, they are like, let's walk around and get a hot dog. Okay, we're ready to go home.
Right. It's like, hey, did you bring the iPad? Yeah, let me look at the iPad. Yeah. So anyway, that was this is a Saints podcast. So we'll try to talk a little Saints. So I'm a Saints fan. Mini camp, I guess, officially started, and it was weird. Like all of a sudden, one day last week, all of a sudden, there are all these interviews, and you get all these quotes coming out, and you know,
two firsts was on the record, and two firsts spoke very complimentary of who I'm now going to call one first.
I like it. I like two first and nice one first. I like
two first on draft night. I said two first and not a first.
two first. Maybe had nice right. things to say about questionable first.
Jason, you know about Peyton Turner, right? You're a fan. Followed him a lot, right?
Yeah,
followed his career in Houston.
Oh, I watched every Houston game.
Second team conference USA.
Which means, like, I might have seen 5 minutes of him playing against Tulane.
He didn't do anything against Tulane. Didn't have a big day.
Really? That
Tulane really shut him down.
Well, that Tulane offensive line is something to behold. I mean,
we can
all agree.
Yeah. Legendary. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That wasn't his best game against old Tulane. He just didn't make much happen.
Hey, Tulane didn't run on them.
No. But he only caused one first.
But he did only cause one first.
It's only one first. And two firsts is already like two firsts is like going one first is better than me. Two firsts is like one first is a better player than I am. Like, okay, that's being too nice, buddy.
Speaking of, I mean, such I guess a thing. We've heard from a few people. I mean, we haven't watched practice, but apparently the Marcus Davenport getting some work on the inside is kind of the rumor going around, is they could see him, I mean, clearing space for Turner by being on the inside a little bit more. Like he's played some on the inside. That's not a completely, you know, rare thing. He was doing that last year when Hendrickson was on the outside. But, I mean, him playing inside more can – Would it make more sense
to play Cam inside and let the younger guy be the actual pass rusher on the end?
Sure. But I mean, those guys are bigger than Cam too.
Yeah, that's the one thing you hear people say. It's like, man, Turner is a big dude.
Big, like, and yeah, I mean, and he. Davenport, the one thing that I've seen Davenport in person, like within a few feet of him three or four times. And every time I've seen him, I am shocked by how small his calves and ankles are. And like, don't get me wrong, he's a massive guy. Like it shocks me how tall he is, but the lower half of his legs are tiny, tiny. Where it's seriously shockingly strange to see. I don't know.
Kind of like the Chris Hemsworth pick that came out recently. Did y'all see that Hemsworth pick? Because he's doing Thor: Love and Thunder, and then he's also playing Hulk Hogan in a biopic, but apparently he skipped leg day a few times.
Oh, okay. But he's been on the gas a little bit otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, he looks jacked as shit. I guess he's not going to be Fat Thor for the next movie.
He will not be. Yeah.
Because steroids aren't technically illegal, right? You can.
If you're an actor, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You can get a doctor to give you steroids. You can get,
for mini steroids.
HGH, yeah.
You can get HGH and testosterone from a doctor prescribed.
Right.
There are
and Disney's not going to test them. Disney's not going to say, "Oh, your testosterone levels are too high. You can't film Thor."
Disney's probably referring him to a doctor.
Yeah, they're like
the syringes have the mouse ears on them.
But wait, I just thought he got the stuff that Frank Thomas and Doug Flutie are pitching. but the one thing that they were saying about Davenport is that he's actually been healthy for the first time in an off season.
Not mentally, apparently.
Wow.
Which this is the fourth year. That stuff about like he still doesn't have mental confidence and is still struggling with that is honestly terrifying to me. That we're at that point and it's coming out. Like that's some after my rookie year kind of stuff, it seems like.
Right. And look, they did pick up his option, which, you know, so he's still got 2 years, but man, it's like, you got to fucking get it together, dude. And I know that the quote unquote added pressure of cost of being two first, but like at some point you got to get it done. Like you just have to fucking get it done, man. We need you. Cause I know like Cam struggled last year, but apparently he was hurt. He says he's healthy finally for a change, but with some of the other losses we've had on the interior and losing Hendrickson on the edge, like you just got to fucking put up, man.
Is that a thing though? Like, are there any Saints players that have ever been on Saints report? But I mean, like current starting Saints players that have ever been on Saints report going, man, can't believe these people don't believe in me because I cost two firsts. Like,
he personally go on Saints report?
I'm saying like I don't actually think I don't think that he cares that anybody says he cost two first.
I mean, he's gonna get some comments on Twitter, I'm sure, but you know, Twitter can be a weird fucking place with just assholes commenting, whatever. But I do wonder if there is some kind of pressure because he has to know that they expected a lot from him and he really hasn't produced yet. So is that just some internal pressure on himself?
To me, that seems like, and I mean, I could be wrong. It seems like to me of, wow, he's him realizing maybe I'm not as good as everybody thought I would be. So what's the next excuse that I can make? That's not just, hey, I'm just not that good. Oh, well, you know what? I'm really struggling with my confidence. It's somewhere on the way to 6'6", 270. It seems like you're getting confidence in what's going on in your life.
Well, and it's strange too, because it was either his rookie year or a second year. Like he was coming on at the end of the season before he got injured at the end. So it's like you thought it was starting to click, and for now just to have it not, it's just frustrating, and especially, you know, as a fan, because we know what we gave up to get him. It's just frustrating, but
Lamar Jackson.
They traded up. It's got to be for quarterback,
right?
Well, I mean, this is the Saints have made a move for a quarterback. They've traded two first round draft picks
after the Saints' initial draft spot,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
But we got to keep.
Drafting Lamar Jackson instead of Marcus Davenport right now?
Well,
you make that trade and trade all the things that happen.
Well, sure. And just imagine the fun Peyton would have to sign an offense around Lamar Jackson. But
I hope he's not listening. He's losing his mind right now. he's absolutely like.
So I'm trying to in addition to that, we restructured Lattimore, converted a lot of his salary to bonus and gave him some voidable years, 100 and something million. We kind of gave him the Taysom treatment.
And it helps him in case he gets suspended for games.
Yeah, I think it it does a, there's interest, two interesting things here. One, like you're saying, it helps the Saints if he is suspended, the per game check that he loses is less. At the same time, is doing this also takes away all of his negotiation, like his, where he, what he could stand on, because the Saints are the ones that also needed this money from somewhere. And kind of, if he wanted a long-term deal, this is where he could have said, no, I'm not restructuring. Mm-hmm. I'll risk losing more money by to get more money. So, I mean, he did the Saints a solid too, but he, I mean, he got benefit out of it as well, possibly, if he gets suspended.
Yeah, his contract negotiation is going to be real interesting, especially when we figure out, like, what the hell is going to I'm assuming at some point the NFL is going to come out and announce a suspension, but we haven't heard a word from it. But he also comes out and says, yeah, I'm a top five cornerback. Well, you are when you play against Mike Evans. But
he said he thinks he's the best in the league.
He did say that
on a, you know, maybe like five games a year. Sure. But he's not consistent enough. And are you really going to, and look, the issue with the Saints is we don't have anybody behind him either. So, you know, we got nobody behind him. So
we drafted Peyton Turner in the first round.
Yeah, we're going to get so much pressure on the quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's not even have time to release the ball.
Oh, just wait till a Debo becomes a household name too. So, and he knows we're in a tight spot because we don't have any guys, but also like he's very good, but dude, like you, like if you want this money, great. You got to be better than more than six games a year.
It's And he's six games a year. He might be the best cornerback in football.
He balls the fuck out. He
completely shuts some people down.
Yeah. But how, and it's just like, okay, that's fine. You got to do it. Look, I know it's hard work, but if you're going to get this bag of money, which you're going to get, you got to be more consistent. You need to be better on a regular basis.
But like the top cornerbacks are getting $20 million. How good does Lattimore have to play this year to get $20 million a year? Like, I mean, if this next year he plays like the best cornerback in football, do you forget the other stuff and go, yeah, you're the best cornerback in football in 2021?
I mean, that's what his agent's going to say.
Well, yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, he puts a season like that. If we don't give it to him, somebody will.
Somebody will.
I'll say he's playing for a contract somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if not Cleveland. He's got all the motivation in the world.
Yep.
So, look, I hope to God he plays phenomenal every week because that means we'll be better. But
you got Ramczyk in the same situation.
Yeah, and he came out and said he's not holding out. They're negotiating. I still do expect a deal with him to get done at some point. Just because he's the best.
What a team player. He comes out, throws all his leverage away, says, I'm not going to hold out. This year, next year, not doing it.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Like, he looks at it and it's like, yeah, look, I'm going to get paid. He's not worried because he is going to get paid regardless. I mean, you know, like, I say that as me, like, what's an extra $3 million? Well, shit, that's actually a lot of money when you think about it. But I don't know. Being a fan, you can't get into these guys' minds. It's so different. Like, we're just a regular schmo. Can't even fathom making millions of dollars. And we're just like,
the other thing about what Lattimore did, what the Saints did with Lattimore, he got a bunch of money at one time just now.
Yep.
I think it was something close to $9 million.
Yep.
He gets now. That's in real human terms. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal more than NFL contracts are not guaranteed. It's not like baseball that way, you know? So, I mean, games missed, get cut, not on a roster somewhere. Yeah. You get your bonuses, but you're not getting your game checks. You know, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Real money.
Is Ramczyk the left tackle of the future and Landon Young or somebody like possibly the replacement at right tackle?
I would just assume keep Ram. I mean, I know everybody's like, oh, the left tackle's the number one guy. I just assume keep Ramczyk at right and find a way to extend Armstead for like 3 or 4 years and then worry about your left tackle later. But Ramczyk's so good at right tackle. He might be great at left tackle, but
the Armstead health of 2020 gives me some positive. I mean, that's the healthiest he's been.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if somehow he can stay that way, that's great.
Yeah, they're definitely going to need to replenish too. But I guess if it had to come down to it, sure, you kick him over. But I would just he's been so good there. I would just leave him there. I mean, I know that, you know, I guess left tackles get paid more than right tackles, but.
Well, I mean, Ramchak's going to get paid as much as any tackle. I just wonder, once you do that, Armstead, even at a discounted rate, is going to be expensive. Somebody's going to pay 34-year-old Armstead some pretty damn good money.
Yeah.
That's what sucks. I feel like you got to let him go.
You got McCoy coming up. You can't have $105 million in your offensive line.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
You mentioned Adebo. It's like really positive, but also like makes you question. They came out and said two things. Like, one, Adebo's been great. He's really grasping the defense. They can't believe what they've seen from him, so considering he took off a year and a half from football. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and oh yeah, he's done really good at nickel cornerback too. And you're like, wait, what? Why do we know that? Why do we even know that? Right. Why is he good at nickel corner?
You gotta give Crawley some time at the two spot, you know.
Well,
they worked him inside and outside, and he's done good at both.
So CJG, where is he gonna play this year?
He's in a contract year too.
He's year three or four, but
he's playing.
I could see him holding out next year.
Yeah, he's playing for it. He's made some noise. Like, I'm the best cornerback in the league. And he feels like he's been on this crescendo where maybe after this season, he's a household name all around the league.
Yeah. I'll say this. CJ GJ is not the best nickel corner in football. But if you ask me to choose which one is true, Lattimore is the best outside corner, or CJ GJ is the best inside corner or nickel. CJ GJ is the best nickel before Lattimore is the best outside. Mm-hmm. Like, he's impacted some games. And I mean, that's a dude that you hate if he's on somebody else's team. If he's a Panther, he's the least favorite person in the league.
So who do you think lines up at the second outside cornerback spot week one?
Patrick Robinson. Or hopefully somebody that's not on the team.
Richard's not on the team yet.
Oh my God. Yeah, Richard Sherman, just the Brandon Browner thing, it's just soured me on any older. Wait. I thought there was another guy we brought in for a visit, a guy who used to be with Arizona.
Apparently they said that
Kirkpatrick.
Drake Kirkpatrick. Yeah,
Drake Kirkpatrick. Yeah,
they said it didn't go anywhere with apparently what we thought he was worth and what he thought he was worth were different. Yeah. Well, he played for like $900,000 last year.
It's almost like you should have that conversation before you buy him the plane ticket. Well, hey, when you get here, if we like you and if you like us, we've got $350,000 right now in cap money. So we're gonna write you some IOUs.
Right.
You'll have lunch with Taysom. He's gonna explain the benefits of the Saints.
Let's go over best case scenario before you even get here.
Hey, look, we'll get you a few dinner reservations at Commander's Palace.
We're gonna teach you about Mickey's deferred compensation plan.
Have you heard about Evocare? Go talk to Drew Brees.
Drew can introduce you to our MLM / investing in diamonds 101 for dummies. little multiple streams of income with Drew. That's a workshop we put all the new Saints through.
Yeah.
Listen, Paulson, it's not a pyramid scheme, but like, I'm going to sign people up under me and you're going to be one of them. And then you're going to sign up people under you. And we're all going to make money.
So look, you just got to buy a bunch of vitamins. It's okay, though. Two people get under you, you're all good.
Right.
Just drink the shakes, you know.
We do have all the rookies in, which is good. So I guess they're going to be going on a because at some point, once they break from mini camp, like, that's it until training camp. Yeah. So do we know what kind of training camp they're going to have in terms of access? Is it going to be still COVID restricted, or is it going to be like the rest of the country is kind of like, eh, whatever?
Isn't it going to have to do with the immunization rate of the team?
Yeah, which they said the Saints are getting really close to. It's either 80 or 85. I think it's 85.
Okay.
They said Come on, Taysom.
Yeah. I guess apparently a few veterans did make speeches to a group of younger players saying
to tell them to get it.
This is how, like, this is what
Come
we
on,
need
Taysom.
To not have this and this and this.
Right, right. Well, and that's the thing. I know Peyton said, like, all the coaches and like they're all good. They're trying to get the players to do it. And what's crazy is I know, like, Major League Baseball is kind of doing the same thing where if your team gets, like, 85%, you don't have to go through all the bullshit.
Right.
You don't have to get tested every day. You can go do whatever. And it's crazy that they're still like, like the Cubs, they're like, you know, we're probably not going to get 85% because they're just guys that aren't getting it. So now they still have to go through all the stupid protocols. And to me, I would just be like, look, I don't want to deal with all this bullshit. Give me a couple of pricks and I'm good. Yeah. Just to kind of live a more normal
it's
life.
Not that kind of podcast.
couple of pricks will be all right.
Do you want to dip the size of your meal for a quarter more?
Want me to punch the size of your face for free?
We got to make sure before we're done we recognize Cam Newton being in mid-season form in the training camp with his throws. How encouraging was that to see?
That was nice. Tua's in mid-season form too.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, that's
to be fair, they have really good cornerbacks, but like one of them didn't show up.
Yeah,
one of them didn't show up to training camp.
They've got a good defense, but Rob Tua's garbage.
I mean, that'll be something because Miami kind of, you know, Miami was set up very, very well with the whole Texans trade and really having a ton of assets. You know, they're building a really good young team, and if they whiffed on Tua at five. You know, that's really going to set him back.
They had a chance to be really disruptive this year in the AFC.
They pulled
Fitzpatrick to see what they had with Tua. They did it with like seven games left. And after two or three games, you could have said, okay, put Fitzpatrick back in. Let's go to the playoffs and make some noise. And instead, they're like, let's keep looking at Tua. And it wasn't pretty. Because that's a damn good football team.
It's just the classic thing. I mean, what we watch in college, there's a difference when the person defending the receiver is 6 yards away versus in the NFL, like nobody's ever that open unless they're playing against the Saints.
Right. It's a lot easier when you're in Alabama.
It's easier if Ken Crawley's on the field.
Fucked are the Patriots? Because the Patriots have Cam Newton behind them. They've got another one of those Alabama quarterbacks.
Yep.
That's going to have to experience that.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. And it's, you know,
it's a different confidence when you're throwing with your arm when somebody's 3/4 of a yard off of your receiver than 6 yards. I mean, 6 yards, I mean, everybody's comfortable throwing to that. Like, you have all the confidence in the world.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's almost like you really have to relearn how to play, how to fit it into your windows. And, I could see people saying, oh, well, it was a weird COVID off season. It wasn't really a real off season. You know, it was just weird. You could chalk it up to, it's a COVID year. He'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, if he doesn't work out, that's a huge whiff, especially like you said. I mean, they still have a bunch of draft capital. They could have drafted a guy like, you know, they could have traded Tua while he still had some kind of value, taking Fields. That's the decision they'll have to live with. So, I mean, look, to this day, I thank them for wanting Dante Culpepper. I know it's totally different regime in place, but thank you, Miami. So in addition to
we had their cornerbacks.
I wish we had any other team's cornerbacks, except maybe Atlanta. We did get a few pics today of the Superdome renovations that are going on. They're putting on the field level suites down in the end zones, and apparently they're doing a few upper deck renovations. They're getting rid of all the ramps, which is really gonna break the hearts of a lot of Saints fans who just grew up with the ramp. First, they had that weird ass carpet in the ramps, and then after Katrina, they changed it to this other substance. And I think like the first few games, whatever they had put down was so slick, everybody was was slipping. And I remember it's like, this is insane. And then a few games later, they replaced it with other stuff. But the Rams were kind of iconic on the inside of the dome. And now it's going to be more stairwells, escalators. But they said they were getting rid of the ramps to open up the concourses to have more space in the concourses. Now, whether that's for the lower two levels, I can't imagine our upper concourse is going to change at all. It's going to be the same. No. It's going to be for the people who pay a little
forever.
Right. But I'm, you know, kind of seeing the inside of the dome again. It's kind of like I'm excited. You know, I'm getting excited for going back to a full dome again, especially after the one game I went to last year at 3,000 fans. And it was just, it was weird. It was so weird. So I'm assuming you guys have seen some of the picks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why they don't just share all the plans. Like, here's the blueprints. Here's what it's going to look like. Why? I mean, why the mystery? I mean, we saw the pictures of the suites. Why not show us what's going on with the ramps? Why not show us that? I mean, like, you know, there's an audience for that. Saints Twitter would be going nuts if you got to, like, see all the other stuff that was, like, we had a question earlier. Are they putting in windows? There's rumors that there's windows coming in. I mean, the Superdome is just such a big piece of clay right there in the middle of downtown. And unlike any other stadium, you know, any other dome for sure in the world, it just keeps getting inside the skin, you know, just redone, renovated rather than bulldozed and replaced. You know, I mean, it's so iconic. I think it's the greatest dome and I would even go so far as to say stadium in all of sports.
All of sports or NFL football?
All of sports and NFL football is included in that.
Sure.
Better than Lambeau. Fuck it. Fuck Lambeau. Fuck Soldier Field.
Are some of the huge football stadiums just like more iconic and have had so many more games and crazy crowds and people running on the field and all that when you get to just all of sports, it's really hard to, I don't know. I mean, there's some college stadiums that have some real special, like just kind of stick out. And then you've got obviously some baseball stadiums like Jason was talking about that really stick out. They're so old and been around for so long. And there's just classic things that you see happening. You're like, oh, that's it, Fenway. Oh, that's it, Wrigley. And
well, and that's part of the thing with colleges too. I mean, you have all these old stadiums, whereas the NFL, all they do is keep getting taxpayers to buy these new stadiums so they can host Super Bowls. So all these iconic stadiums, you're losing a lot of the history, a lot of the memories there just to build some brand new shiny box with a bunch of luxury suites and looks good on TV. And you just, you know, there's only a handful of old stadiums in the NFL left. Yep. I mean, we're lucky that we haven't had to totally rebuild a brand new stadium. We've got the Superdome in such a perfect spot. And we're able to just kind of make the renovations here or there to keep it modern. Because the state doesn't have the money to find it. I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, you got these billionaire owners that always get the taxpayers to fund a big portion of the stadium, and we don't have that kind of money.
When it works out, too, I mean, it's the Superdome continuing to keep the Sugar Bowl, and then still, I mean, we've got the 2025 Super Bowl now, like continuing to get the Super Bowl every 5 or 6 years where there are, I mean, 20 stadiums that are newer than year 2000. And
well, especially too, you know, you had this run of building new stadiums. So, you know, New Orleans went without a while for a Super Bowl because all these other places built stadiums. Well, now that they built stadiums, like, yeah, Minnesota, you got a Super Bowl. Well, nobody wants to go back to Minnesota for another Super Bowl. So they're not going to get another one. All these new stadiums in these cold cities aren't going to get another one. They're going to stay here. So at some point we'll get back. I would think we'll get back on a regular rotation just because this is a better spot to host it than Minneapolis or
like Dallas really screwed up their Super Bowl that they had by a couple thousand seats that they screwed up. And then also it froze and the roads froze that week. And Dallas is not set for the roads are not made for getting bad.
Yeah. I mean, I could see a fairly regular rotation of LA with that new stadium, Vegas with that new stadium, Phoenix, New Orleans, Tampa. I mean, even Miami, that's Miami still an older stadium, but it's still Miami, you know. I mean, there's no reason to have it anywhere else. I mean, the Carolina Panthers owner is talking like he kind of wants a new stadium, and their stadium was built, you know, their stadium's not that old, but, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, you hold these cities hostage and you threaten to move and everybody panics because they don't want to lose their NFL team. And there you are.
Not San Diego.
They stuck it.
They didn't flinch.
Yeah, they won't be. You won't buy San Diego in tax dollars.
Well, and the NFL
are missing out on one of the most talented rosters in football, apparently.
Well, but also, I mean, the NFL, I mean, people in LA don't care about the Chargers. That's the crazy part. Like, they don't have a fan. They don't have a real fan base now. I mean, I know it's only like an hour and a half south, but it's just that they really fucking screwed the pooch right there. They really did. Nobody cares about the Chargers in LA. It's a shame.
As soon as they're a 500 team, they're not gonna care about the Rams either. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're excited that team's winning. Like they do not, that place is all about if you're supposed to be there. If they're got a losing record, the Rams aren't a place that, you know, or a team that anybody's watching either.
I mean, God, they were so desperate to get a team in LA, and people in LA just don't really care that much.
No. I mean, the thing is, they'll sell all these advertising dollars and do all that stuff, but people will not be in the stadium watching the game.
Right. That's crazy. The thing. You know, you'll have a home game and half the fans are the away team because everybody in LA is from somewhere else. So if you have a game, you know, the one game a year where Philly plays out there, you're going to have half a stadium full of Philly fans.
Is there an announced Super Bowl for Las Vegas? Is the new stadium in Vegas hosting one soon?
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I think it's 2022 or 2023.
That'd be fun.
So when Jameis leads the Saints to the Super Bowl, it's in Vegas.
Oh, man. I like that.
Oh, no. I guess when they took the Super Bowl out of New Orleans for 2024, they talked about Vegas getting it. They've offered it, but I don't think I guess they haven't set one for Vegas for sure.
Okay. But I mean, yeah, you got to think they're going to, I mean, the second they can, they're going to do it in Vegas. And
it'd be a hell of a movement for the NFL. I mean, who was anti-Vegas for so long, and then they allowed the team in Vegas for them to put a Super Bowl in Vegas. That'd just be mind blowing.
Vegas is the place that could have is a small place that could have two teams, and enough people travel to Vegas that, I mean, you could sell out the games just based on the road crowd. I mean, it wouldn't even,
take both the teams out of LA and send them to Vegas.
Like seriously, let's put have them in Vegas. Three teams everybody in Vegas. Will go. They'll three sell teams out in every Vegas. Home game.
I mean, and think of how we got screwed. You know, the Saints played in Vegas last year and no fans.
That was supposed to be the first game in Vegas that I was going to. Mm-hmm. I was going to that game.
Yeah, like I knew a lot of people that were planning to go and weren't able to. It's a shame. And now we got to wait 8 years.
Big part of my plans last year. Yeah, now we'll play again in 2030.
So, I mean, in terms of the Saints, Jared Cook made a stupid comment about there being more talent. Now, it comes out on Twitter and says, we got more talent here in LA with the Chargers. We got more talent here than did New Orleans, which of course you roll your eyes and say, fuck you, Jared Cook, you're a fucking asshole. But then when you look at the actual comment, it was more talent at wide receiver here, which when you look at it that way, I mean, fuck Jared Cook, but our receiver talent last year with Michael Thomas being hurt, we struggled. So he's not necessarily wrong, but it is just fuck you, Jared Cook.
I mean, once you say Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, I mean, the conversation's over.
Yeah. Like,
cool. Yeah. Okay.
So
you could say Mike Thomas and anybody is better than that. And we've not – I really feel like the Saints receivers have been so handicapped these last couple of years by Drew's arm.
There definitely is. And it was – I mean, Emmanuel Sanders was a really quality number two guy. It just sucked that we didn't have Michael Thomas pretty much at all last year. That really sucked.
They mentioned that he's resting his ankle. They're being real. His ankle is still something that they manage even right now.
But how is that even possible? Because I mean, I know he tried to fight through it, but it's like, dude, like, okay, you've had this whole offseason. Like he should be good to go. Like there should be no lingering issues here unless our good old Ochsner doctors.
They missed that he has a broken ankle and didn't even treat it.
Right. Oh, his bone's sticking out. How did we miss that?
You know, with the receivers, I guess it's interesting, the Traquan Smith stuff. That, I mean, some of the details were weird, but apparently, you know, we've seen Jameis working out with other receivers. He had asked Traquan to work out with him, and Traquan said, well, I've got this with my schedule, and it's hard for me to make it out there. And maybe something came out that Traquan didn't – I don't know. Jameis all of a sudden said, hey, I'll pay for your ticket,
right,
and you can stay at my house in L.A. And then Traquan came out, and Traquan's blown away, and is talking about the one thing Jameis told him is, don't make me look bad by stopping running. No matter what's going on, keep running down the field.
Yeah, it's like, I can actually throw it 70 yards.
He actually said, don't make me look bad. And Traquan,
I like it,
repeating it. So, and Traquan saying, I'm going to make catches downfield this year. It's going to be a different offense.
And it's a big year, contract year for him, big year.
He led NCAA in yards per catch, I mean, before he was drafted. Mm-hmm.
See, and that all goes back to, like, it's going to be interesting to see what this offense looks like now that, because we're going to take shots again. We're going to be a lot more explosive than we've been.
I mean, maybe more shots than we've ever taken.
Be a long time.
And I mean, you pair what used to be great is you could take those shots downfield and then dump it off to Pierre or Reggie, who would always make people miss. Well, I mean, you got Kamara doing that now too. I mean, he's as good on the screen pass as anybody we've ever had.
Anybody.
I mean, so there's a lot going on there. If you can open up the field and make people start stepping back and get on the heels.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm really intrigued, and I saw, so like, the Ringer came out with their first, like, oh, here's our top 50 fantasy rankings, and I think they had Kamara like sixth. They had him behind Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley, which is just, to me, that's just, like, they had McCaffrey up there, Derrick Henry, and Dalvin Cook, and then, Elliott and
Barkley
Saquon Barkley ahead of him. And I was like, I mean, Kamara scored 21 touchdowns last year. Like, that's, y'all are just fucking stupid. If you want to put McCaffrey ahead of him, okay, I could see
it. If he's healthy, sure.
Right. But
they're going to lean on him more than we're going to lean on Kamara.
Right. And look, and I know Henry's a workhorse, but there's no reason why Kamara is not top three. There just isn't.
Yeah, I mean, Henry's not a better fantasy back. That's crazy talk.
Well, but he gets, I mean, he rushes for 1,700 yards. That's pretty, it's very consistent, you know, but the one thing that really jumped out with me, they had Michael Thomas down at like 30 something, which is, I guess they're just either he was hurt last year, so he's just out of sight, out of mind, but the dude had, and I know he's not playing with Breeze, so he won't get more catches, but I think there's a lot more yards, a lot more touchdowns in play for him now in this offense.
You got to go watch his first two seasons when Breeze still had a lively arm. That dude was catching the ball 30 yards downfield a lot. I mean, and I get, it's what have you done for me lately? And he was hurt last year, but he was the offensive player of the year the last year he was healthy.
Right.
Not a good red receiver. He was the offensive player of the year.
And just like some of the guys they had ahead of him was just like, okay, that's just ridiculous. I mean, they had like AJ Brown was ahead of him, Keenan Allen was ahead of him, DK Metcalf was ahead of him, Justin Jefferson. Like, I know Jefferson had a good year last year, but I mean, like, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams.
AJ Brown going to be the leading receiver on his own team?
Right.
I mean,
they had Allen Robinson ahead of him, Amari Cooper ahead of him, Mike Evans.
I was gonna make a joke about if Amari Cooper is ahead of him. That's insane.
Yeah. So they had Thomas at 31 overall, the 13th wide receiver. I know it's crazy early, but still, it's just like, It's absurd. It's absurd.
I mean, a guy that, yeah, granted, he was injured last year, missed a lot of games, wasn't all there. But prior to that, his production and his numbers are historic. Mm-hmm.
You can't say he's 13th when we also don't have a number two receiver on the team. Like a true mm-hmm. quote unquote number two. Like that's.
Well, and look, McCaffrey was hurt most of the year last year, and he's still number one in their rankings. Still
number one.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he does have Sam Darnold throwing to him now.
Oh,
that's true.
I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, they're going to have to respect Sam Darnold. It's going to open things up for the run.
So, I'm sure a lot of it is going from Breeze to Winston, but man, considering what we know about Breeze and what Breeze really, really was last year, and I just think the offense is going to open up a lot. I'm really excited to kind of, and especially like sitting in the dome and you watch the plays, you could see him develop. And you can see the play as it's happening, and they go deep, and you're like, holy shit, and the crowd just goes fucking nuts. I feel like we just haven't had that for the last few years.
If in this offseason, instead of retiring, if Breeze would have said, I'm coming back to play another year, I could make an excuse for why Michael Thomas is the 13th ranked receiver in football. I could be like, okay, I think that's stupid, but I can see where you're going.
Right.
Honestly, I mean, Jameis Winston coming in and being the quarterback, like I don't see. You either got to put him in the top five, or you got to say he's number 40. Like that's a weird spot in there. Like I don't know. Because Jameis threw 30 interceptions once in his career. He's not going to do that again, even if he has, a terrible season. He's not doing that. Even if he did do that, though, he's still going to throw a ton of yards to Michael Thomas. If he's
right.
I mean,
Who thinks he's going to throw for less yards than Drew did last year? You know he's going to throw for more yards than that.
No chance. I don't care how many interceptions he throws. I don't
care
how many games we win or lose. If he's the starter 17 times, he's throwing for a 1,000 more yards than Breeze could throw for last year.
And these rankings have to assume that everybody's healthy for the season that they're projecting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't go, oh, well, fucking – Thomas is going to blow his ACL out in training camp, so we rank him as the 90th receiver. Like they're taking into account that he's going to, be healthy and play a 17-game season. That's fucking stupid.
Well, this goes along to, a lot of the national pundits out there are like, well, we're going from Breeze, we're moving on from Drew Breeze. Like that's just going to be like it's almost like they think we're moving on from like 2011 Drew Breeze, where we're just going to be like have this massive drop off. But we've seen the last few years as good as he is kind of navigating everything, there's just a lot that's missing. And I think a lot that's going to come back here. And I think people are just really discounting they see us losing Breeze and they think we're losing the Hall of Fame guy like that. And that's really not the case.
The average national person believes that we actually have a quarterback competition on our hands and that Taysom Hill might be the person throwing to Michael Thomas. Maybe we do. We don't know anymore. We're like you said, Jason, we're Joe Schmo, but I think we all assume that Taysom Hill's our backup tight end.
Taysom Hill is our weapon. I'll go on record right now. There is no quarterback controversy. Jameis Winston, 100% quarterback. And Taysom Wilson. Who the fuck is Taysom Wilson? Where'd I get Wilson from?
Taysom
Wilson.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying you.
Taysom Booker?
Wow.
Yeah, checkpoint.
I try to speak faster than my mind can process. I think we refill. I'll go with a four. Why not? I mean, if I'm saying Taysom Wilson, I'm probably a four.
Great moments in Saints broadcasting history. We've always enjoyed as a family, and my family remembering the day that Buddy Deliberto called Dante Stallworth Dante Stallpepper. Dante Stallpepper.
It was great.
Oh, you're never going to get that back.
But Taysom is our weapon that we're going to need on offense, but he ain't our quarterback. Taysom Wilson. Mayor Taysom Wilson. Progress is his middle name.
Yeah, I think that Jameis is definitely our starter if it's not Deshaun Watson or
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Definitely Jameis is.
We got $5 million in cap space, fellas. Anything's possible.
Yeah, right. I mean, Loomis will do something.
We'll get Quan and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there we go.
And we're that guy's working out. Like, health is not going to be his problem when we come to preseason. Quan Alexander.
Yeah.
He's doing some aggressive workouts, moving side to side and exploding. I mean, and again, we're talking about the first preseason game in 90 days. He's going to be.
Do you think we reach out and try to sign him, or are we just like, nah?
Yeah, he's got to come back.
I mean, I don't know, man. We got Pete Werner, so we're set, right?
But, I mean, how good can Pete Werner be in training camp that you don't talk to Quan? I mean, it's
well, but I don't know. They're trying to convert Zach Bond to a regular linebacker, not a pass rusher. I don't see how you don't bring in Quan. I don't think we will, but it seems like a no-brainer to bring him in.
I mean, he's coming.
I mean, look, if we got $5 million in cap space, give him the old Alex Okafor deal, the $5 million deal, a couple years, add some voidable years on there, and then he's basically a 1-year deal.
Well, I don't know why you're saying Alex Okafor. That's basically the everybody. Everybody's got that contract, Jason.
Well, but
now.
Right.
Mickey's magic deferred compensation plan.
You got to see the special man.
I mean, to if we're just being literal, I mean, we did sign Lattimore to a 4-year extension.
We did. We celebrate. All right. Well, I think that's all I've got other than it's U.S. Open week, third major of the year, golf terms. It's not Tiger week.
What do 17 major championships, over $6 million in prize money, and complete domination of the sport of golf have in common? Two things, the champion and Aerofly balls.
Aerofly balls. They just seem to go further.
If it's good enough for the champion, don't you think it's good enough for you?
Which I'm sure Scott and Jeff are happy that it's not Tiger Week, but it's going to be an interesting week over at Torrey Pines. It's going to be some primetime major golf. And I'm going with Brooks Koepka. That's my pick this week.
Taking Jordan Spieth.
He's the favorite, and I think he's going to have some fire in his belly based on what happened 2 weeks ago. I got to go with John Rahm.
History says it's going to be somebody in the top 20 in the official world golf ranking. I don't think we're going to get a flyer. As much as it would be great to see Phil win it,
I'll say that I won't be shocked if DeChambeau gets in the top couple, but I can't predict him to win because I just am not a fan of that guy.
And he hasn't been playing well, and it's really a shame that the USGA didn't pair him and Brooks together. They really missed an opportunity.
But you know what? They could be paired up inevitably on Saturday or Sunday.
Dude, how awesome would that be?
Take it out of Tor's hand. Take it out of their hands. And make
how
it
awesome
natural.
Would that be if they're in the final pairing on Sunday?
Whoa.
The final pairing. So, like,
that'd be a great day.
The U.S. Open is on the line. They don't like each other.
The blood sport between those two.
That'd be great.
There's a Formula One race this week, if anybody's we're just talking about everything. It's the French Grand Prix.
Would it be on if golf's not going to be on until late, so you can watch the F1 in the morning, watch the golf in the afternoon?
There was some haters and detractors along the way as my Nets were looking like they were having some injury woes, but
they
took a big lead tonight.
Jason, did you make your NBA title prediction?
I think it's going to be Phoenix.
Even since Gunn and I talked on Friday on the podcast, man,
the stark difference between what the Nets and Phoenix did there closing out those series. Mm-hmm. Phoenix is tough to hate on.
Well, and it, too, you know, you got former Hornet Chris Paul, former coach Monty Williams. It's like I'm pulling for them, man. I was kind of pulling for Milwaukee for Holiday and for a small market team to win. Like, I don't want Brooklyn to win because of the, you know, that's one of the super teams that put themselves together, and I don't like that. So anything that's slightly more, you know, or a smaller market or wasn't an orchestrated team put together, I don't like that aspect of the NBA. It fucks, you know, 20 other franchises. I just don't see the league being able to function that way, even though over the course of the last 30, 40 years, there's only a handful of teams that have won titles.
You guys will have a better finger on the pulse than me. Like, I know Pelicans fans hate Anthony Davis. Are Pelicans fans pulling for Chris Paul and for Drew Holiday to meet in the finals and one of them to win something? Is that?
Yeah. Look, Pelicans,
you guys are dead to me.
There's no animosity. Pelicans fans hate Anthony Davis and they still hate Eric Gordon.
And they're happy for Monty and Chris Paul for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think like we can't fault Chris for leaving because at that point it was still Shin's ownership and then the league and it was a shit show.
Yeah.
I mean, they were cheap because we didn't have the money. I mean, this was Shin's only thing. It was before some of the NBA contracts really took off and the team value skyrocketed. And this is all Shin had and he didn't have the money to pay. I mean, look, these dudes were practicing at the fucking Alario Center.
It's unbelievable. Like,
you know, it's to look back on it now to know what kind of the stuff went on. And like when they traded Tyson Chandler, it's like, well, that was it. Cause they didn't want to, pay for it. Like, apparently they could have traded for when they had that core, they could have traded for Rip Hamilton.
Yep.
And he didn't want to pay him. And if we'd added Rip Hamilton, we're a title team. And with these guys, I think we win a title and he couldn't afford it. He was cheap. And so I don't blame Chris for leaving. And I still don't like that Monty got fired. I didn't think he should have got fired when he did. He got better his 3 years. He made the playoffs in year three. And I know some people were frustrated, but there was no reason to fire him in Dell Demps.
Well, he's not a Van Gundy.
Well.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how Pelicans fans felt about some of those former players.
No, I mean they still hate Anthony Davis. I think because it's still fresh, but
I think they'll hate him forever.
He's just unlikable. He's unlikable.
Yeah, he's not a likable dude. But I mean, really, like the franchise failed him. I mean, we had chance. The franchise, we couldn't win with him. I mean, I don't like the way that he left, but I don't fault him for leaving. He just did it in a shitty way.
Yeah, agreed.
So I get it. But it is funny when Eric Gordon comes back. God, the fans hate Eric Gordon. And I'm like, I don't even care about Eric Gordon anymore, but we hate Eric Gordon.
Good stuff, guys.
Yeah, other than that, you can check out all of our shows on the one feed. We got Taking the Over. Are you putting out a show this week, Gunn, or are you going to take a week off?
I think I might take a week off. If I did, it'd probably be talking U.S. Open, but, you know. But who's going to listen?
I'll give you the post-episode bump.
There you go. Yeah,
Jason will listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
After Sunday.
We also have the Tigers Den. I'll be interested to see the next Tigers Den episode now that LSU's been eliminated in baseball and Maneri's over. Can't say I'll listen, but I'm interested to hear about it. I got
sure
told Scott.
It's going to be an emotional episode where Scott pines over the memory of Maneri and how much he misses him.
This is an interesting dichotomy because Scott's wanted Maneri gone for a while, but it's going to be an emotional time. I wonder, there may be some tears.
You don't predict a one more year episode?
I think that's it. I think Scott's like, yeah, we'll get somebody else. We do have our UK guys. The Euro 2020 tournament is going on. It's still called Euro 2020, even though it's 2021. At least I saw it on TV. It's like, oh, this is the Euro 2020. But wait, it's 2021.
Makeup
games. It's going to be the 2020 Olympics?
Think so.
Technically, yeah.
Weird.
So that's going on. So I think they're going to have a show coming out. I think it'll be published by the time we publish this one. There won't be a Pelican plunge until I think the NBA draft lottery is in a few weeks, and the draft is later that. But otherwise, we'll see what kind of Saints news comes out, and you know, we'll be here. We'll put out some shows here and there. But in the meantime, that's all I got. Any of you guys got some final thoughts?
Go Nets.
Speaking of soccer, the U.S. women's team has a international friendly against Nigeria on Wednesday. Mm. We're just going to promote soccer.
Well, at least the women's team is good. at least they actually can win a World Cup.
Are they playing at the Ilario Center?
So yeah, that's all we got. Check us out on all the feeds. You can follow us at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol US, at Don't Patrol UK, at Taking Me Over. And with that, I don't even know how it ends.
I'm going to say, or you can listen to it the old-fashioned way at Don't Patrol Podcast.
.com. Thank you, Gunn. Say bye bye, donkeys.
Good night, fellas.
Cause we are no superstars who wanna be large and forget who we are. Don't judge us by bank accounts and big cars. No matter how bright we shine, we're far from being stars. The stars fall and disintegrate before they hit the asphalt. They incinerate cause we came not to destroy the law but to fulfill. For those who appreciate those with skills. And what is a DJ without without the elements, it's all irrelevant.
I represent the real from the beginning to the end of it. End of it. End of it. End of it.
Hey, this is Sherman Emsley, and I'm here with Jurassic 5, all the way live.